okay, we're doing a series in Hebrews that's entitled, What Does It Say to Me? And the first section we're talking about is the supremacy of Christ. Today we're going to talk about Jesus being greater than the angels. Next week we'll talk about a warning. The week after that, Jesus gives life and fellowship. And then Christ is greater than Moses. So the writer of Hebrews is taking these individuals and entities that people in the second century would see as significant. Angels were a really big deal. Moses was a really big deal. And in the next few weeks, we're going to look at this author saying that Jesus is greater than all of these. Today is the 8th day of January, and I'm going to call it 2012 today. And the title is Christ is Greater Than the Angels. And it's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 14. As I said, in the time of Hebrews was written, angels were a real big deal. And their presence and interaction was considered normal. They weren't surprised at all to talk about angelic beings doing significant things. In our culture, in our day, not so much. Angels aren't that much of a discussion. But I'm not sure that they weren't closer than we are. When you read Revelations and you read in Daniel and you read in some of these other accountings, there is a clear biblical pattern that Jesus has ministering spirits that he sends to do a lot of things that we consider in our culture meteorological events or natural disasters. But it's clear in the Bible that God says, okay, now I want you to take this much hail and put it there. I want you to take this much rain and I want you to put that there. I want you to take this wind pattern and make it come from here. And there are four angels of the four winds. And we just call it, it's a high pressure system. But in that day, it was actually an interaction of God with his creation. And I don't think we've improved by watching the weatherman and giving it all just attributing to the meteorological sciences. And there's a lot of other events. That was just an illustration. Well, let's get to the Bible. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 5. For which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about his son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? So, here's our outline. Christ is greater than the angels. Number one, Christ is the firstborn Son of God. Number two, let's talk angels. And number three, the temporal and the eternal discussion. So, God has a heart or a mindset for firstness. And it's seen clearly in his Bible that first things really make a difference. The spiritual realm was created first, so it has more power and responsibilities than the natural realm. A man was formed first, and then a woman was taken from him. So a man in a relationship has more responsibilities than a woman because of this firstness. Now, when Christ is greater than the angels and Jesus the firstborn Son of God, the firstborn Son had all kinds of rights and privileges and honor in the Bible and still does in the Middle East. In many of the Middle Eastern cultures, it's still the oldest son that gets everything. It's not like the United States where if you got three kids, you cut it three ways. He gets it all. And that's the way it is in this biblical sense. Because Jesus Christ is the firstborn son, he gets it all. And it's still that way in the Middle East, in many of the cultures over there. Now, on Monday, we read Psalms number 2 in our yearly Bible reading pattern. And here's point A on your outline. This is a quote from Psalm 2. You are my son, is your first blank. Today I have become your father. So son and father are the blank. And this is David's prophecy of Jesus stepping out of eternity and into time with us. Jesus always was, he always will be, and in all the places that he shows up in the Bible before and after his resurrection and birth, he always shows up as a 30-year-old guy. And he always will be. Probably when we get new heavenly bodies, we'll all be about that approximate age as well. We'll be back to where it was really nice. But this is David's prophecy, long before it ever took place, of the Son of God being born, stepping out of eternity and stepping into time with you and I. Be on your outline. God brings his firstborn into the world. Jesus created the world, and then he entered the world to experience it as one of us humans. So he entered the world, and this is the prophecy of Jesus becoming one of us. Jesus becoming a human, which has got to be a real unique experience, or as we used to say when I was younger, that's really a trip. It's really an experience to step out of eternity and step into time. From all-powerful to submitted, restricted, limited, delegated authority is a big deal. And this is God talking about Jesus doing that back in David's time. See on your outline continues with that. And it says, about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Your scepter of justice is the scepter of your kingdom. So your blank is kingdom. And when Jesus was here, he talked a lot about the kingdom of God. He really didn't talk much about the church. He talked about the kingdom. And that's what we need to think in our lives. Rather than getting wrapped up in Christianity, be involved with the kingdom, because that's really what the Bible talks more about. Now, there is talk in the New Testament about the church. That's true. But when you look at it and read the whole thing, there's a whole lot more about the kingdom of God than the church of Jesus Christ. So, when he comes back real soon, he will continue that kingdom's dominion on earth. He's going to come back really quick, rise in the eastern sky at an appointed time, and things are going to change dramatically. And we want to be kingdom-minded people, not just Collegiate United Brethren Church people. We want to be kingdom-minded. The kingdom of God is way bigger than the church. Now, point number 2, let's talk about angels. You can't really talk about comparing Jesus without talking about angels. Now, as you read through the Bible, you would do well to remember that God tells us once, so the first time is important. We live in a culture where oftentimes a husband or a wife will have to say something more than once. But in God's economy, once is enough. And with angels, they get one chance. They don't get grace. You decide whose side you're going to be on. And once you decide, it's an eternal decision. Angels have free will. They can make a choice. We won't talk about the guys who chose to rebel today a lot, but the reality is they get one chance. And we need to think in terms like that. Not, well, we got grace, so we can fiddle around and we can, maybe in 2013. No. One chance. Now, the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. And God wanted us to understand from the start His relationship with the angels. And as you listen to what God and Satan talk about in Job, it's really clear the pattern of what goes on a consistent basis. That there is this interaction between God and His angels. And a lot of us think, well, you know, because God, you know, well, God's like us. He gets so busy, He just doesn't pay attention to all the details. No, that never happens. All the time, there are angels interacting with God. Where have you been? Oh, I've been going to and fro across the earth. I've been doing this. Now, it would also be well for you to remember that in the last book of the Bible we read, finishing the year in December, there's a lot about angels in there as well. And you would do well to remember that God's first book, Job, and God's last book, Revelations, talks a whole lot about this interaction with angels and with people. And it's really good news in Revelations that this angel that every day accuses us before God will eventually be judged. Now, angels are spiritual, created is your blank beings. God made them. He made the angels. And in Genesis 1:1, at the very beginning of Moses' books, he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And when he's talking about the heavens in the Hebrew language, that's the spiritual realm. People read that and they think, well, God made the stars and the galaxies first. No, he didn't make them till day three. He made all of the spiritual beings before he made the physical realm. Now, be on your outline. Angels are God's messengers. God sends angels to bring messages. There's a lot of illustrations that I could bring, but I thought I'd just do some of the ones. Today's Bible reading in the Old Testament, you'll find yourself in Genesis 16. And you will read a story from verse 7 to 11. And this is one of the many places where a common person has a conversation with an angel. Here's how it goes. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that was beside the road. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Well, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Ishmael, and for the Lord has heard your mercy. So, when you think about this, you need to realize that this is a reality that is true. I happened to be in Chicago with some really good friends for my anniversary. Got in a cab to go from one place to Shaw's Crab House, and I just casually mentioned to the cabbie, hey, are you ready for Christmas? I don't celebrate Christmas. Oh, I'm Muslim. Ooh. So, we had a conversation, and, you know, I ended it on common ground that his religion and my religion both claim Abraham as their founder. And we both agreed, since that day happened to be the high day of Hanukkah and the Jewish people were dancing up and down Michigan Avenue, and I said, and the Jews as well, as us Christians and you Muslims accept Abraham as their father. Now, where did all of them come from? Hagar. That's where they all came from. And there's a lot of them. Now, If you go on to Genesis 18, here's another one. Then the Lord said to Abraham, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I'll go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that's reached me. If not, I'll know. The two men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing there before Jesus. And the two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up and he bowed down to the face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we'll spend the night in the square. He insisted so strongly, they did go with him and enter his house. Now, before they had gone to bed, all the men of that part of the city of Sodom, young and old, surrounded the house. They called out to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. When these angels walked down into the city, or when the Lord Jesus stood there and made a bargain with Abraham, they looked just like everybody else. Angels can intimately react with humans. Interact is your blank. Angels can intimately interact with humans. When those angels went there and the guys from Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to sodomize them, you could really do that. Angels can do that kind of stuff. Now, some of this is kind of hard for us to understand, and we don't have to understand it to see it in the Bible as true. We're reading a book entitled The Outlaw, and the author says, I didn't do the miracle of making wine. I just did the math. So you don't have to understand how all this works to say, this really happened. Here's what happened in Genesis 6, the first three verses. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, daughters were born to them, and the angels of God saw the daughters of the humans were beautiful, and they married them, any of them they chose. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when angels of God went to the daughters of human and had children by them, and they were the heroes and men of renown. Now, after a period of time, God put restrictions on that type of relationship. Essentially about the time of the flood. But the reality is, angels can be in the mall with you and you can't tell the difference. They can be in front of or behind you in the Kroger's checkout line. And they could even go to Super Walmart or Menards. Angels can look and enter into time just like you and me. So you have to interact with everyone understanding this reality. It's not just like our cultures. Well, there's no such thing as angels. And they can't really pop in and out of here. And once upon a time, God wouldn't really let them make babies with beautiful women. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, they can be here now. Now, D on your outline. Angels are spiritual created beings. Here's the key point. Under God's authority are your three blanks. Spiritual created beings under God's authority. All the angels know who God is. And they submit to his authority. Now, some of them are in a rebellion for a short period of time, but it's not going to last. They're going to end up in hell. Now, all creation is under his authority. One would do well to learn submission and respect. That was written for you and I. It would be really, really good for you and I to more consciously remember the eternal, remember the spiritual, and come under God's authority. Excuse me. Now, in Colossians 1, 15 and 17, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus made it all. It's all for him. Now, D, angels minister to believers. Angels are ministering spirits, and they minister to believers. Verse 14 of our text says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? God sends angels to minister to us. He indwells us with His Holy Spirit. He surrounds us by His Holy Spirit, but yet He sends angels. And oftentimes, I think they fight against some of the dark forces on our behalf. Now, E on your outline, angels protect the helpless. Protect is your blank. Angels protect the helpless. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 18:10. It's red letters because he verbally said this. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now, he's not talking about beating them. He's not talking about yelling at them. He's not talking about mistreating them. He's talking about your attitude towards these. And he goes on to say, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Jesus is saying there are angels to protect innocents and little ones. And what's clearly stated is it's not just our actions, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies. It's our attitudes, the way we think, that's important. F on your outline, angels execute God's judgment. Execute is your blank. In Revelation 20, the first three verses, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. The devil will be thrown into hell for 1,000 years. Then he gets to come out for a little bit. Then he's got to go back. Now, you don't want to go to this place. So you want to be involved in seeking God. Hebrews 1:7. If speaking of angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. Now, some of the angels look like flames of fire. The seven spirits of God that burn like a lamp, that stand before the throne 24/7. When John the Revelator saw them, the only way he could explain these angels, they were like balls of fire. And there's seven ministering spirits of God. Those are some type of angels. If you know how many insects God made, you could probably figure out how many angels he made. They're all different kinds, and they do all different kinds of things. They're not just one kind and do one thing. They're vast and tremendous, and everybody's got one. So there's quite a few. Now, let's talk angels. There are lots of different kinds with a lot of different servant functions. But none of them come close to comparing to Jesus. So they do all sorts of fun stuff, and some of them have seven heads. They look like this, and they have feet like that. And they glow like fire, and they do all... But none of them compare with Jesus. So, let's talk about temporal and eternal for a minute. Let's have a discussion on that. Do people who think and live for a temporal think different and live different from the ones who have a set mind of on the eternal? Let me read that from the beginning. Do people who think and live for the temporal think and live any different than the ones whose minds are set on the eternal? There. If your mindset is on the day-to-day, grinding out, going to work, changing the oil, changing the diapers, getting the dusting, doing the laundry, da-da-da-da-da, is it going to snow? Is it going to rain? If your mindset is on all that temporal junk, is it different than if you have a mindset on the eternal God and the incredible spiritual realm that surrounds you? If you have a biblical mindset, is it different than a worldly mindset? If you're thinking eternal, you'll live different than if you're thinking temporal. And I would venture a guess that better than half of the Church of Jesus Christ on the planet today live a normal life on the temporal. All they think about in a day-to-day is the things they need to get done and how far they are behind. And the list of things. Oh my goodness, am I ever going to get caught up? And don't take any time to stop and read the Bible, to get on their knees and pray, to get outside, look at the beautiful sky and creation in the day or the night, worship God. Most people in the church, I'd say over half of them, don't do that in a day. It's just all about money. It's all about my marriage. It's all about my medical issues. It's all about my stuff, whether it's my old house or fixing it up, or my new house, or my old car, or my new car, or, you know, we spend most of our time on the temporal. What's the eternal? The eternal invisible things of God are really what's important. I've talked so much about some of that other stuff, I'm almost out of time. So, where do you spend most of the time with your head and your heart, most of the day? Temporal, eternal. Now, a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about in the future, so it's going to go kind of quick. A, do you love righteousness and hate wickedness? Love and hate. Do you love what's righteous and you hate what's wicked? When you see evil, wicked things going on, do you hate it and intercede to God? B, are you and your companions recognized by the joy in your lives? Would the people that you hang out with, would they say, man, they are such joyful people. They're talking about the Lord all the time. I can't believe that when their lives are in such a medical and financial and marital mess, they're still joyful in the Lord. Is that you? C, Jesus is the beginning. He laid the foundations, as your blank, foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of His hands. We're going to dig down to the foundations of the church and put a drain tile down there to deal with a foundational problem of water. All the church sits on the foundation. And we're going to dig all the way down to it to fix the problem. When you want to fix a problem, you got to get to the foundation. But God actually set a footing, laid a foundation, set the axis of the earth before He started it spinning at the angle that it's at. Jesus did that. What are the foundations of your day? What do you build? What do you rest your day on? Is it that quiet time alone with the Lord before anything else happens? Is that prayer life that you continue to maintain in the mess of the workplace? D, the world will perish is your first blank, but Jesus will remain. Perish and remain are your blanks. It will wear out like a garment. This earth is going to wear out like a garment. E, Jesus will roll up this world like you roll up a robe, like a garment, it will be changed. When the new heaven and the new earth come, it'll just be like slipping out of one garment into another. Julie found this really soft, fleecy stuff at North Face. She's got a new hat and a trick new coat. It's really soft and snuggly and cozy. I got one for my birthday. It's really soft and cozy on the inside. When God changes the heavens and the earth and makes a new one, rolls the one up, puts it away, oh, the new one is going to be really snuggly and cozy and really nice. When you slip out of this body into your heavenly body, oh, it's going to be really... It's just like changing clothes. Now, F, Jesus will remain as your blank the same. His years will never end. He's always going to be 30 years old. 33. Yeah. He's always going to be 33 years old. He's never going to get older. He's never going to get younger again. He's always going to remain the same. G on your outline. God said, Jesus, sit at my right hand until, is your blank, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Used to be quite common in the days of the Hebrews that when you'd conquer somebody, you'd put them down here and you'd put your feet on them like a footstool. God's going to do that. Here's the bottom line. God hates sin and those who love it. If you're loving the stuff of this world and you're loving the way it's going on and you're accumulating stuff and that's the total focus of your whole life, you know, I don't have any problem with getting a new computer. I don't have a problem with getting any new of this new trick stuff that's out there. But if that's what's captivating your life, the new car, the new motorcycle, the new boat, the new house, the new trophy wife, whatever it is, trophy husband, if that's what you're focused on, you better consider this year doing something different. How's God's Holy Spirit calling you to turn from sin, turn from the temporal, and the fallen things of this world? What do you already know He wants you to change? I'll bet at the end of that year and the beginning of this year, there's stuff that you know God wants you to change. There's attitudes, desires, the way you think about things inside, He wants you to change. Activities He wants you to change. Do you desire this year to have a better experience with Jesus? You've got to focus on the eternal more and less on the temporal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending angels. Thank You for making them. Thanks for making us. Thank that You send ministering spirits to protect us and help us and move us and motivate us and send us messages. And I pray we'd listen to Your Holy Spirit today, this year, and that this year, this day, we would become more and more the people, the children of Your kingdom You want us to be. In our individual lives, in our church community, in our country, on our globe, that in our generation, in this year, You would change us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.